Good morning. I just need to get this off my chest right now. I am really nervous. I feel like I'm having an anxiety attack right now. So I just want to apologize beforehand. It may not come out the way I want it, but I'm going to do my best.
Hey, Matt. Let me interrupt. See? Okay. Y'all love this guy or what? Do you want anything less right now than to hear his story of how God has been at work in his life? No. You don't want anything less than that. So put your hands together, show your love and support for Matt Olson.
Thank you. So Dwayne's asked me to come up here and share my story with you today. Some of you have heard parts of my story. I'm going to share my whole story with you today, talking about my scars, challenges, and obstacles of what I went through in my life, and how the emptiness began, and how the Lord has transformed me and given me hope in my life. I found my rock bottom when I was 27 years old, when I called my mom and asked her to pick me up and take me to detox because I was addicted to heroin. Let me walk you through how I got to that point. In my childhood, I moved around in 4 different states. My parents went through a divorce, so it was hard and tough to go through that. My stepfather was verbally abusive to me. And going through school, I was dealing with dyslexia, so it was even harder. Going through school, it wasn't easy. I was made fun of. Age 8, because of my father, I started building a relationship with Christ. I remember going to his house on the weekends and him reading Bible stories to us on, bedtime. He asked us if we wanted to accept Christ in our hearts. Around age 10 and 12, my father remarried and kind of felt like he kind of turned his back on me. He didn't feel the same. So I kind of turned my back on him and on the Lord at the same time. I was angry with him, what was going on in my life. So I really just chose my own way. I started to rebel in life. Started hanging out with the wrong people at school. Got into drugs and having intimate relationships. So I was just really feeling that void of pain, trying to numb that. So age 17, my mother gave me a choice to either leave the house or, at least change my life, and I chose not to. Still wanted to do what I wanted to. So I left, and I knew I needed to get a job and learn something, so I chose construction at the time, and I figured it'd be good for me, too, because of my dyslexia. There's a whole lot of reading involved, so I went through construction, but at the same time, I didn't know it was a good environment for me because of my drug addiction I didn't know of. It just got worse throughout the years. Age 21, that's when I started heroin. And it just got worse every year. And just really trying to keep killing that pain. Age 25, that's when I tried to commit suicide. I experienced going to jail. Before that, I started injecting heroin at age 25. And I went through all of that. So I was really calling out, looking to how to change this, but I didn't see a way. It was just darkness. I didn't see a light. One day, the Lord revealed something to me and showed me who I have become over those years. And it was just hollowness and darkness. And it's just like when Alyssa sings that song, Dry Bones, it really hits home to me. I hear that. And from there, I really prayed to him at what he revealed to me and asked him that I really put him to the test. You know, if you're there, if you know, show me the way. Give me a path. And 2 weeks later, it was a Friday. I made really good money that day in sales, and I took that money and spent it all on drugs. And it didn't kill the pain anymore, that high. At that point, I knew why, or I made up my mind. I called my mom.
There's a scene in John chapter 8. And basically in this scene, they gathered in the place where the religious community would gather. And so probably not the type of setting we have here today where a bunch of people gathered and sat in rows and things like this. But basically what John tells us in chapter 8 is that Jesus, really early one morning, about dawn, so pretty early, showed up at the temple and was going to do some teaching there. And so Jesus went into the temple courts, and John tells us that he sat down and he began to teach. He began to teach whoever was there to listen, and perhaps men were there to listen, other men. And as Jesus is teaching his story, he's teaching his message, John tells us that a group of religious leaders bring a woman in. And they basically say to Jesus, Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Now, your mind can kind of run wild at that point, like exactly how did that happen? Was she caught in the act of adultery? Where's the man with whom she was committing this act? Why isn't he here right now? But you have this scene of the religious people gathered together pretty early in the morning. Jesus is teaching about the grace and love of God. And these religious people come in with this woman. And they throw her on the ground in front of him. And they say, Jesus, she was caught in the very act of adultery. And according to the law of Moses, here's what gets to happen right now. We all get to stand right here in this moment. So if we revert back to last Sunday and we were in Luke's gospel about the demon-possessed man who was freed, and the demons went into the pigs and they rushed down the hill and they were drowned in the lake. And I said to you, you know, who of us have ever seen a scene like this? And we wouldn't need immediate like mental help at that point if we saw that unfolding before our eyes. And who of us in this room today have ever been in a situation where we were gathered with a group of good religious people and someone was caught in and thrown down on the floor in front of us, and the response was, you know, in light of what she did, really what gets to happen right now, because we have it right up here in the book of Moses, we get to stone her to death. Think about that. Literally, physically, according to the law of Moses, we get to pick up big rocks and we get to throw them at her so much that she will die right here in our presence, right here before our eyes. And so Jesus, at this point, he's been put on trial. He's been put on a mini trial right here in the temple, because basically these religious people are coming in and they're asking the question, Jesus, here's the woman. Here's what she was caught doing earlier this morning. Here's what the law of Moses tells us should happen to this woman. And so we want to know from you now, what do you think? In other words, Jesus, do you agree with the law of Moses? Are you going to chart your own little path? Are you going to chart your own little course? And basically what John tells us in chapter 8 is they were presenting this scenario before him in order to catch Jesus not sticking according to the law of Moses, and ultimately being able to say of Jesus, he doesn't agree with the law of Moses, so not only should we stone her, we ought to stone this guy, Jesus, as well. Well, Jesus doesn't say that he agrees or disagrees with the law of Moses at this point. Jesus doesn't say, yes, we should, or no, we shouldn't. Jesus simply turns to these religious leaders as only Jesus can, and here's what he says. He says, go ahead and stone her. Go ahead and kill her, right here in front of everyone. Only let those who are without sin be the first to throw the stone. Go ahead and kill her right here, right now, in front of everybody. But there's one condition. Be sure the person who throws the first stone has no sin in their lives, is without sin. So John tells us at this point that Jesus kneels down and begins to write something on the ground. There's a lot of just little fun scholarly debate about what was Jesus writing about? What was he writing in the sand? Was he playing tic-tac-toe, or was he writing some big theological discourse, or was he writing a word, or was he writing this woman's name? We don't know what Jesus was writing on the ground. I like to think that what Jesus was writing on the ground was, Lord, please don't let the church of the future be like the religious leaders that have gathered around here this morning. But whatever Jesus wrote, he was done writing it, and Jesus straightened up. He stood up. And by this point, all of those stones had dropped to the floor. All of those religious leaders had turned around and walked away. No one dared to throw a stone at this woman on this morning. And so Jesus stands up, and he looks at this woman, and he asks the question, has no one condemned you? Her response in John 8 was, no one, sir. And his response back to her was simply this, well, neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin. Go and sin no more. As I've been working on this text for the last couple of weeks, I've been in conversation with Matt about his own story. Have had opportunity to sit and converse with him. And I do know that he's really nervous to sit up here in front of you this morning. But also have no doubt that God has done an incredible work, is doing an incredible work in his life. He's got a story to tell. He's got a story to share with others who found themselves in the pit. He just left us right there in the pit where he's asked his mom to call detox on his behalf. And it occurred to me this week as I'm working on this passage, this simple truth. It's one thing for Jesus to look up at a group of sinners who have had to drop their stone and walk away and ask the woman, did anybody condemn you? No, no one condemned me. Well, why did they turn away? Well, they turned away because they had sinned. And they knew they had no right to be throwing a stone at this woman. Who had the right to throw the stone at the woman? The one who was without sin. Who was the one who was without sin? Jesus was the one without sin. Jesus said, let him who is without sin be the first to cast the stone. Jesus had every right to pick up the stone and throw it. And so it's so interesting then that as they walk away, his response, Jesus' response, the response of grace and love, even to the woman who's been caught in the middle of the act of adultery, is simply this, I don't condemn you. Therefore, get up, go out that door and go live your life, but don't stay in the ways you've been living. Go forward into freedom. Go forward into new life, not as condemned, but as accepted by God. Go forth in the grace and the love of the Father and live in Him. You know, I don't know that this service, that this day could have been encapsulated any better than it was earlier. In Titus chapter 3, we heard it this morning from Jadriel. Thank you so much for reading that passage for us. But in Titus chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, this entire day, every song we've sung, the story that we're in the middle of hearing right now, this story from Jesus that he tells out of John chapter 8, summed up in a text that we've already heard. If I can find it, I'm going to read it for you. Titus is such a little stinking book. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to grab Jadriel's notes. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. By this point, what's happening in Titus is the proclamation of what had already happened in the Gospels, what had been happening in the life of Jesus, had happened in the life of Jesus. And so by this point, what's happening in this little letter is the proclamation of that. We are still but following a vein of this type of proclamation. And so right here in the letter, this is what the writer says. He says, at one time, we too. Who's the we too? Well, the we too is the church. We're the religious people that Jesus is hoping won't turn into the religious people from of old. So here's what he says. At one time, we too, who? You and I, us, all of us, Centerpoint Church, we too, at one time, we too were very foolish. Disobedient. Can I get an amen? Amen. Deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done. Raise your hand if you deserve to be saved this morning. That's a rhetorical question. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. Why did He save us? Because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. We see already in the church the proclamation of the types of things that were happening in Jesus' life as He looked at people who, according to the law, deserved death but had grace on them, who had forgiveness on them, who loved them. And I want to tell you this. This is kind of the mantra we've been talking about for a while now. But gang, if the church, if the local presence of Jesus is any less than that this morning, is any less than that in the city of Orlando, is any less than that in our community, we're not in line with the path of our Savior. So Jesus comes on the scene. He loves this woman. He has forgiveness on her. And He says, go forth now and leave this way of life. Embrace the life that God has for you. Put your hands together and show your love for Matt Olson.
So I called my mom, and the question she did ask me, where was I going to go? And I had no idea. I just knew in my heart that I wanted to change. And I didn't care if I go live on the streets. So at the time, I started thinking, where am I going to go? And I knew my uncle had struggled with drug addiction. And I called him up, and he was telling me he was at one place right now, and he said, come here. And it was Central Care Mission. So I went to detox and went to Central Care, and I probably was detoxing for 2 months. I didn't get a whole lot of sleep, the aches and pains. I just knew I just wanted to work to exhaust myself to sleep at night. But Central Care gave me hope. I knew this is what I needed in my life. It gave me discipline, structure, life skills, and it helped me renew relationships and build my relationship with Christ again. I was tested there too at the end. I was there for 11 months. And towards the end, in construction, I was a carpenter at the time. There was drugs, a lot of drugs around. And I was just remember crying out to Him to give me the strength to get past this, to give me something new. One day at church, Will Foreman came up and approached me to ask me if I wanted to work at Centerpoint as a maintenance. And I already knew the answer to that. But at the same time, like, my old self is like, okay, you're making 17 an hour at Carpenter and they're giving you 10 bucks an hour. Seriously? Come on. Like, but I knew the way I was changing my life, that this was the right choice to make, was to come work at the church. At that point, Central Care graduated me. And he really answered my prayers. The blessings I've received from just graduating, period, it was awesome. Moving out of the dorms from living with eight men in one dorm and having your own little room in a transition house, that was a blessing to me. The money I did save up there, I did buy me a bike. And the money I knew that I was making at the church at the time was not going to be easy to live. I could have bought a vehicle at the time, but I chose not to. I chose to buy a bike. And I rode that for a year and a half to save money as much as I could. So, and at the same time, with the transition between going from construction into a Christian environment was very intimidating to me. I didn't even know how to even have a conversation or carry a conversation with you guys from the road I'm used to. But I have a list of names, and normally you shouldn't be mentioning names up in this position right now, but you can blame Dwayne for that. He gave me the okay for it, so... I do have a list of names, and I don't have every name written down here. I don't. It will literally be here all day. And these names have helped me with that transition. It's given me courage, strengthened me, wisdom, direction, and more. And it's just someone to talk to, a relationship, whatever. So here we go. We have Will and Christy, Mickey, Sherry and Bill, Dwayne and Marley, Keith and Allison, Brad and Shelley, Joan, Lucina, Donna and Ed, Alyssa and Brandon, Javier and Fabi, Megan, Travis, Nick, Shelley, Bill and Mary Beth, Dixie, Ryan and Melissa, Don and Debbie, Andrea and Jim, and Kay and Larry. And it, literally, it's a much bigger list. You guys opened your homes to me. I really didn't think that anyone could ever trust me or what I've gone through. And, but if I can use one word, I would use family. And through this... you guys encouraged me when I was weak, helped me improve in my reading skills, and supported me with starting my business. And today I do have a business. It's a handyman business, and I really want to believe I would have a business. And almost 4 years, they asked me 4 years ago. I didn't see it. And at the time, even transitioning from full-time from CenterPoint to my business, I didn't have the money I wanted saved. But again, the Lord pulled through, and every month He provided. I literally hit my financial goal I wanted to through my business at the time. But right now, I mean, I still go back to Central Care. I'm a mentor there. I try to help the guys out as much as I can. I help the men's ministry here. I still come here and fix things, you know. So, but honestly, I'm not sure where I would be at without Christ, CCM, CenterPoint in my life if I didn't have y'all. That's my story.
I said, you got a standing ovation. And Matt turned to me and he said, well, do I bow? And I said, no, just walk off humbly. I don't know if you caught this, but a little bit of a commercial in there. Matt Olson's Handyman Services. So anybody who needs handyman work. Very glad to have him at Center Point, and very glad to be on this journey with him. I'm excited to see Matt share his story because Matt just represents the larger work of the church. And so even as we've been in conversation preparing for this day, I was struck by the list of people that he had. And even as we go into communion this morning and as we think about the John 8 passage, I'm reminded of this, that Center Point, we have one of two opportunities. We can either condemn or we can embrace. As individuals, we can either condemn or we can embrace. As a larger church body, we can either condemn or we can embrace. And the very essence and the very reality of communion is that when we deserved condemnation, Jesus Christ embraced us. And he did it with his broken body and his shed blood. And so the scripture says that on the night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant of my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it often, for when you do, you proclaim my death until I come again. And so this morning as we come, one of the opportunities we have is to be able to bring our guilt, our shame, our past, our story, our hurt, and to ultimately leave it here. To leave it here and to be filled up anew with the grace and the goodness of God. God, thank you for these elements this morning. And God, I pray that truly through this time of giving thanks back to you, we would be able to lay aside, Lord, the realities of our lives, of our past, of our stories that tend to haunt us, that tend to hold us back. And God, I pray that we would be able to walk in newness of you. God, understanding and believing and living into the reality that we do not find in you condemnation. We find in you grace and acceptance, but we also find, God, a call to go forward and leave our life of sin. So God, even today, through the power of your Holy Spirit, will you enable us to walk worthy of the call that you've placed on us to live as people who are living simply in response of your grace and your goodness in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your body, for your blood that was broken and that was shed on our behalf. We love you today. We pray these things in your name. Amen.